come up and have a seat in front with me.
Look at you, Luigi. Sit there for a little while. That's good. How's everybody doing?
You good? All right. Do you guys like to play tag? Yeah? When you're running around for a long time and you're all hot and sweaty. You guys don't get hot and sweaty, though, do you? Cooper never gets hot and sweaty. When you're running around for a long time and you're hot and sweaty and there's people out to get you, you're so tired. Where's a place that you can run to that you need to run to at that time where nobody can tag you? What's that place called? And you're safe. What's it called? Yeah, say it loud. Yeah. That's a good one, Lydia. In the restroom. Yeah, that's good. She's tricky, huh? Yeah, home base. I heard home base, right? Well, life is like playing tag, isn't it? And sometimes in life, there's some people out to get you, okay? Or some things out to get you. A lot of bad things can happen to you in life. And when you get tired and worn out, we need a home base, don't we? Yeah, we do. Well, you guys remember King David, right? Yeah, you remember King David? Well, before David was king, there was actually a different king who was out to get David. King Saul. You guys remember King Saul? You ever hear King Saul? Good. And he actually wanted to kill David. Did you believe that? He wanted to kill David, but David knew that he had a home base. That's pretty cool, huh? And you can know that you have a home base in life, too. So while David is running from King Saul, he writes a bunch of psalms, which are prayers and praises to God. And one of those psalms is Psalm 16. And in Psalm 16, David's prayer request to God is preserve me. O God, for in you I take refuge. And what does it mean to preserve something? Your grandparents ever can things like peaches or tomatoes? Yeah? Do you ever hear like jelly called preserves? No? Okay. Wasn't sure about that one. Well, preserve means to protect something or to keep it safe. And David wants God to preserve him because he's looking to God for a refuge. He says, preserve me, O God, because in you I take refuge. What's a refuge? There's a lot of big words in here, isn't there? That's all right. A refuge is a place that you can go to for protection. A place where you know that you're safe. Nothing can hurt you. It's like your home base. Okay, so God is David's home base in life. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, God is your home base in life too. No matter what bad things are going on in your life, maybe you have a lot of worries. Maybe you worry a lot or are afraid of some things. Maybe there's a certain sin, okay? A certain sin that just feels like it's attacking you and it's really hard for you to not do that certain sin. You can trust God to keep you safe. Well, how can we trust God to keep us, to be our home base? We can learn to trust God by focusing in on who He is, like David does. All right? That's the most important thing that you can do in life. All right? If you don't get anything out of this morning, at least for me, you're going to get a lot later. But if you don't get anything out of this is what I want you to remember. The most important thing you can do in life is to keep learning more and more about who God is. Okay? David does that, and he calls God here by three names in verses 1 and 2. And each name of God highlights a different thing about who God is. First, David calls God, guess what? God. That's pretty cool, huh? David calls God, God. Imagine that. And God here, it means that God is the one who's holy and good, and that He's the supreme one. Okay? He's the big God. And it refers to God being mighty and strong. Okay? How many of you think your dad's really strong? Come on, God. You guys should be raising your hand. Yeah. Well, God is bigger and mightier and stronger. So, question. Is the mighty God, the all-powerful God, is he a good place for David to seek refuge? Is he a good place for you to go to safety? Yeah, he is. Second, David calls God Yahweh. Everybody say Yahweh.
Yahweh.
Good, good. Or that means I am. It shows us that God always existed. He doesn't have a birthday. That's crazy. I know, he doesn't get a cake or presents, but he's always existed. Okay? And he needs nothing. We need things to live, don't we? What do you guys need to live? Bennett? Anything else? It's good. Anything? And God, yep. Okay, well, yeah, those are good. But does God need food, water, or shelter? No, he doesn't. He doesn't need anything, but in fact, actually, God gives. Did you know that? God gives. God gives abundantly and graciously to his people who are in relationship with him. That's why David praises him here. And he's third, David calls God Lord. Okay, that means that God is David's master. That God is the one who's in charge of everything. He's in control of everything. And really, it means that God owns David. God is the one who guides David's life and directs his life and orders David's life. Now, a lot of times we think that we're the ones who are in charge of our lives, don't we? Sometimes. That's why we whine and complain when we don't get our way, right? Because we think we're in charge. You guys don't whine and complain, do you? But when you trust God as your Lord and your Master, you can trust Him to keep you safe too. And to give you everything that you need. When you recognize who God is, you can know that everything good about your life comes from God. Like David does. He says, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." He means that everything in our lives comes as a gracious gift from God. In James chapter 1, verse 17, he says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights," that's God, "with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change." So what are some good things that you guys have in your life? Bennett? Parents? What are some other good things that you guys have in your life? Food? That's a good one. What else? Cooper? Water? What's a good thing in your life? What do you like to do? Or what do you like that you have? You have lots of good things in your life. And really what David is getting at here is that having a relationship with God is the best good thing in your life. See, if you don't have God himself, even the best things in life won't have any value. They'll be meaningless to us. Jesus says in Matthew 16, "For what good will it be a person if he gains the whole world and yet forfeits his soul?" So you can have all the money in the world, all the toys and the cool stuff in the world, but all that doesn't matter. You need to know God. If you know God as your home base, as your Savior, as your Lord, nothing from now on can ever mean as much to you as God does. He's the best good thing in your life. And when we know God and have a relationship with him, it changes the way we live our lives. First, David says in verse 3, "As for the saints in the land, they are the excellent ones, in whom is my delight." And what he means by that now is that now, because David knows and trusts God, he can't wait to talk to and to hang out with other people who love and seek God. So that means other Christians. Right? His best friends are other Christians. Do you love to be around other Christians? Do you get excited when you're with them? That's a good thing if you do. God gives you a special love for other Christians when we love God. That's really cool. And second, verse 4, David doesn't want to be influenced by bad people who don't love God. He says in verse 4, the sorrows of those who run after another god shall multiply. Their drink offerings of blood I will not pour out or take their names on my lips. So he's saying here that he turns away from wicked people, from people who don't love God. Okay, it's not that he doesn't hang out with them, but he doesn't want to do what they do. Okay, he doesn't worship the false gods that they worship. He doesn't let bad people teach him how to live. And he's not concerned about the things that they find important. Are there people like that, maybe, that you know? People who don't love God and are really maybe a bad example for you? Maybe there's kids that you know that say things that aren't pleasing to God. Maybe they say mean things about their parents behind their backs, or brag about how they don't listen to their parents. Do you think that you should think that way or talk that way like they do? No, and that's what David's saying here. David says he doesn't want to be influenced by bad people because he knows that their sorrows increase. It means that they don't have joy or pleasure. They're not happy because they don't know God. And the things that they find important in life don't give them joy. When we often look to find real happiness from stuff other than God, don't we? What makes you happy in life? Bennett? Sports? Levi, what makes you happy in life?
Yeah.
You don't know? All right, Cooper.
Watching videos on
my tablet. Good, watch the videos on your tablet. Kate, what makes you happy? Luke, what makes you happy, Lukey? Mommy? Yeah, I thought so. But sometimes do those things really give us true happiness? Maybe money, sports, getting good grades at school, toys and clothes. I'll be happy for a time, maybe, but it kind of wears off, doesn't it? And David tells us that the only thing that gives us true happiness, true joy, is having a relationship with God. And David says that there's great blessing in having a relationship with God. First he says, the Lord is my chosen portion and cup. That means that God gives our daily necessities, the things that we need every day, like food and water, clothes, shelter, parents and grandparents who love us and who teach us about God. Those are all blessings from God. Things that you can thank God for, right? That when you guys pray, you can thank God for all those things that He gives. He gives us everything that we need. We may think that we need other things like toys and stuff and people to like us, but that's just sin. It's tricking us to think that we need that. But God gives us what we need. Second, He says that God makes His lot secure. That means that believers are secure in everything with the Lord. You may sometimes go through really hard times. Sometimes we go through really hard times, right? Maybe your parents aren't together anymore. Maybe people pick on you because you're a Christian, or because you don't do certain things, or do certain things that they don't. Maybe you did something bad, and you have to suffer the consequences. But if you have a relationship with God, He's always with you. He's the mighty God, right? Who's in control of everything, and He loves you. You can trust Him. The third blessing of knowing God is contentment in everything. Verse 6. The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. That means that David's content with what God has given him. And remember, even he's saying this even as he's running away from King Saul, who's trying to kill him. Can you believe that? Do you think you guys will be content and happy with what you have if somebody was trying to kill you? That's pretty tough, huh? We should be content with what God has given us, because He is mighty and powerful and He's given us so much. Maybe you want more stuff. Or maybe you're just bored with what you have and you wonder, why would God do this to me? Well, get to know the God who is, right? And who trusts Him and trust in Him. Those things that you want, they just increase your sorrows, right? But not God. And the fourth blessing is that God gives His people wisdom and encouragement. Verse 7, I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. God teaches His people. He instructs us about what's important in life. Okay? And He teaches us, He comforts us, He encourages us, and He gives us wisdom about life. James says that in James. And as David sees all these blessings from God, he determines two things. Luke, can you determine two things for me, buddy? All right, good. First, he says that he's going to praise God. He says, I bless the Lord. That means that he's praising God. And second, he's going to put God first in his life and trust that God will take care of him. Verse 8, he says, I have set the Lord always before me because he is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Now, how many of you think you have the coolest bike? And that's what I thought. You may not have the coolest bike or the coolest phone or the coolest toys. You may not be able to go to the coolest places like your friends can. But recognize that those things don't give you joy or peace or happiness anyway, right? Instead, if you have a relationship with God, then be thankful for that. Be thankful for that and praise Him for all the blessings that He's given you, like David does in verse 9. Therefore, he says, my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Everything within David, his whole body, he says, praises the Lord and rejoices because he knows that God will keep him safe. So David's shown that we can trust God in all of life, right? That God is so big and powerful and mighty and loving that everything we could possibly need, God gives to us. But God has a plan, not just for our lives now. Okay, we can trust Him not just for our lives now. Let Him go. He's good. But we can trust God to take care of us even after we die. He says in verse 10, for you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Everybody say Sheol. Say it again. Sheol. Stand up and say it.
Sheol.
All right, great. Sit down. He says, you will not abandon my soul to Sheol. Or that means the grave. Right? So like, when we die and people put our bodies in the grave under the ground, David says that God will still not abandon him. He still won't forget about him or let him go. How can David be so confident about this? How can we be confident about this? Right? I mean, nobody's ever come back from the dead to tell us that God is going to keep us safe and secure, have they? Has anyone ever come back from the dead to tell us that God will keep us safe after we die? That's a trick question, isn't it? Because one person has. Yeah, Jesus did, right? David says, you won't let your Holy One see corruption or decay. He's talking about Jesus. Right? David's not God's Holy One, right? David's a sinner, isn't he? Just like you and I. You guys learned about how David's a sinner a few weeks ago in children's church, I think, right? What is sin? Lydia. Yeah, something you do bad. Anything you think, say, or do that breaks God's laws, right? And we're all sinners. We all break God's rules, except for Jesus. right? Because he is God, and God can't sin. So see, because we sin, we're supposed to die and to be abandoned by God, to be rejected by God. Because we sin, we can't know God. We can't have God's pleasure and joy in our lives. But as Jesus died on that cross, he took our sins. He died the death that we deserve to die, right? Did Jesus deserve to die? No, he never did anything wrong. He's perfect and holy and sinless, but he died for us. Jesus got in trouble with God so that you don't have to. And Jesus rose again, right? He came back from the dead. He came back to life so that God won't abandon you, so that you can be forgiven, so that you can have a relationship with God, trusting him and honoring him and being blessed by him in this life and having a hope that in the future, when you die, God won't abandon you, that he'll bring you into his perfect presence. And finally, David sums it all up in verse 11. It says, "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." So God's presence, the relationship with God, is the best thing that you could ever ask for or want. He guides you in this life. He cares for you. He watches over and protects you. And he gives you pleasure and joy forevermore. That's pretty cool. Paw Patrol doesn't give you pleasure and joy forevermore. No, it doesn't. But God does, right? And pleasure and joy in fullness. Like, you can't find a greater happiness and joy anywhere else. So that's why I said in the beginning, the best thing that you can do, the most important thing for you to do right now as a kid, is to get to know God more and more. So I have some questions for you guys. Do you think you can handle some questions? You guys were doing pretty good. All right. How do you have a relationship with God? Bennett. All right. By knowing Jesus as your Savior. What's the most important thing we can do to grow in our relationship with God? Who should you get to know? God, right. And what are some things that we can do to learn more about God? Yeah, read the Bible. Cooper? Go to children's church? Yep. Good. Yeah. All right. If you have a relationship with God, what kind of people should you hang out with? Lee. Good people. Yeah, people who love God and are seeking after God. Christians. What kind of people should you try to not be influenced by? Bennett. Right. Yeah, people who don't know God. All right, and then what things in life should you expect to give, or should you expect to give you the greatest pleasure and joy? What things in life should you expect to give you the greatest pleasure and joy? So this is a multiple choice. Getting better toys, getting better at sports, getting better grades at school, finding more friends, or getting to know God better? Lydian. Right. Hey, you guys passed. That's awesome. Bennett, would you pray for us? You don't have to if you don't want to. Do you want to do it? All right. Go ahead, Bennett.